Chapter 12. The Great Mother. Escher was joined by Apani as she walked the long portside corridor of the mass conveyor. She was surprised to see her daughter, but did not show it, maintaining instead her superior officer's aloofness. Legio first, their motto ran. Escher was Apani's commander before she was her mother.
"Why does she want to see us?"
asked Apani. She was still young and possessed of youth's talkativeness. She reminded Escher of herself that age.
"Just you and I. That's unusual. Has something similar happened to you before?"
"It has," said Escher.
"But it is unusual," she added after a moment. "What do you think she wants?"
Apani asked. She frowned.
"Have we erred?"
"Do not attempt to guess, my daughter. The Great Mother does as the Great Mother will. You should learn restraint. Speculation leads to restlessness. A good huntress must take the situation she finds and exploit it to her best advantage, not waste her time wishing for it to be otherwise."
Apani was chastened. Escher felt a pang of guilt. Had she not been speculating herself only half an hour before? The early days with Apani had been wonderful, but they were long gone. The age gap between them was much smaller than between the Vat sisters and daughters of the Legio. Escher was 100 years younger than her own mother. The naturalness of Apani's birth made the situation harder rather than easier. It baffled her that humans had reproduced in this way for so long. Many still did. The biology made a kind of sense, but the relationships were awkward. They fell into an uneasy silence. It took 15 minutes of walking through long corridors and a ride in a low-pressure express tube before they reached the other end of the Tantamon and the way into First Maniple's dropship. What they found there concerned Escher greatly. The Sally Tunnel through the Great War Gates had been filled with votive images and incense sticks. The walls were covered over with neatly printed repeating mathematical formulae. The calculations were incomplete, of the most sacred kind. She recognized them, though she was not indoctrinated into the higher mysteries, for they were a central part of the cult, the closest any tech priest of any forge world had come to rendering the prime equation, the incantation by which the machine god had called his machina cosma into being. A reverent hush filled the hangar. The Great Mother's warlord, Luxor in Victoria, stood in gleaming majesty at the far end of the dropship. There were identical sets of gates at prow and stern of the craft to allow rapid deployment into battle, but those the Great Mother stood against were hidden by a banner made from a single piece of cloth 50 meters high. Around Luxor in Victoria's broad, beweaponed shoulders, the edges of the emblem of the Hegemarchus were visible. Tigris's badge, a towering, pyramidal forge complex, framing the sacred flame of knowledge, superimposed over a cog. 1,000,000 candles, moulded from used oils, turned the central access road running down the centre of the ship into a river of light. The Myrmidons of First Maniple, all warlords, faced the door Escher and Abhani entered by, standing guard over their order's leader. They were active, and their anti-personnel weaponry tracked the women as they walked into the ship. The dropship had been turned into a shrine. This was not normal, even for the Great Mother. Ordinarily, the tech priests showed their respect in the naos. The dropships were kept clear of clutter. Worse still was the silence. No tech priests or servitors were working. No hymns or sacred equations were being sung. Apani came to a halt, open-mouthed.
"What's going on?" she said.
"Nothing that need concern us."
But Escher was just as discomforted by the solemn signs of piety on display. Prometheus, a senior tech priest, Dei Mechanic, came to them and wordlessly beckoned them to follow him to the foot of a curling spiral stair of brass and onyx that had been built around Luxor in Victoria's left leg. He pointed upwards, bowed, and withdrew.
"Come with me, daughter," said Escher.
The stairs wound round and round the leg, allowing them to come close to the holy mechanisms of motion. Esher suspected the steps were intended to induce a feeling of humility, and they certainly worked in that regard. She felt insignificant beside the monstrous pistons at the back of the Titan's knee. When they came around again to the front, the Titan's head jutted over them, immense as a cliff, engulfing them in its shadow. The steps leaned out on extravagantly arched cantilevers, allowing them to pass over the Titan's hips and the giant gyroscope housings. From there, the steps headed up and further out to connect with the balcony at the rear of the machine. Access to a warlord was above the waist, anatomically lower than a reaver's boarding portal, which was set between the shoulders. On the balcony, they were level with the rear portions of the god machine's immense weapons. The Great Mother was a firm believer in pinpoint kill shots at range, and Luxor in Victoria was equipped with twinned volcano cannons. The door did not open. The opus machina on the door, resplendent in lacquered black and white, stared at them judgmentally. They took their places before it.
"What now, Mother?" said Abhani. "We wait on the Great Mother's pleasure, my daughter."
Abhani sighed and turned away to lean on the balcony rail, where she stared at the emblem of their forge world on the flag. The Titan's defensive weapons were alert and tracked her movements. The whining servos of the ball mounts cut through the silence. Esher remained facing the symbol moulded into the doorway. Steady heat radiated from the Titan's reactor within. The rattle of heavy bolts retracting in sequence had Abhani returning to her mother's side, and Esher standing straighter to attention. The doors split apart, dividing the holy skull and cog in two. The green glass eyes of the Vox Omni Machina glowed in the dark entrance.
"Greetings, Princeps Majoris Esher Ani Mohana, Princeps Abhani Lus Mohana. The Great Mother is expecting you."
He stood aside. Abhani moved. Esher stopped her with a hand.
"What is the meaning of all this, Holy Father of Machines?" Esher asked. "Why is the dropship dressed as a temple?"
"This is a solemn time, Daughter of War," said the Vox Omni Machina.
"What do you mean by that?" she said.
"I know you well, Princeps Majoris. You possess the necessary mental acuity to deduce the current situation from the visual implications before you. It is not my place to say. The Great Mother will discuss it with you, if that is her will."
Esher sighed in dissatisfaction and entered Luxor in Victoria. The door was large enough to pass through without stopping. A spiral stair went up at the right-hand side of the deck, taking them past cramped, open subdecks, crammed with servitor alcoves and stations for the tech-clade who maintained the Titan. The reactor occupied a sealed central cylinder that ran the whole way through the Titan's torso. Its power output was much larger than the one on Domine Ex Venari, and its working, even while idle, electrified the air and made the metal shake. In the atrium at the top of the torso, behind the head, two Neocora worked under the supervision of a Prometheus. They attended to their tasks in respectful silence. A shrine occupied the rear wall, thick with papers bearing equations, the wax from old candles and offerings of minor components and sacred trinkets. The tech priests ignored them, but turned respectfully away as the door to the head opened so they would not profane the Great Mother with the touch of their eyes. The Great Mother's tank was immediately visible, for it took up most of the Zella, the place of command. The higher the Titan class, the holier the Zella, and Luxor in Victoria's was holy indeed. Abhani gave a little gasp. Both of them felt the warning prickle of hairs rising as they trespassed on sacred ground. The Zella was dark. The status lights of dormant machines glinted on the tank's armor glass in smeared patterns of red, amber, blue, and green. Amnion filled the tank with blue shadow. Darker lines could have been feed lines or neural connectors, or perhaps the limbs of the Great Mother herself. Within that prison of armor glass and sustaining fluid was Esher's mother. One of the Neocora in the atrium depressed a button. A mechanism filled with the motive force and engaged loudly. Lumens blinked on in the cellar and around the base of the tank. Blue shadow became blank white. A human shape moved with liquid slowness inside. Voximeters crackled on.
Esh ani, abhani lus, said the Great Mother, her voice filling the cellar. Welcome, my daughter and my granddaughter. Come within the holy place of command.
The two princeps entered the head of Luxor in Victoria. The door slid shut behind them. There was hardly any room with the tank in there, and they were forced to stand with their backs to the door and their faces close to the glass.
It has been too long, daughter,
said Mohana Mankata Vai.
It has, said Esha.
And you, my granddaughter. Thank you, great mother. I, this is such an honor,
stammered Abhani.
You have been to this place once before?
The words were addressed to Abhani, but the omnidirectional nature of the voximeters made them seem impersonal.
I don't remember, said Abhani.
You were a babe in arms, said the Great Mother.
You brought me here,
Abhani asked Esha.
I desired to see you myself, said the Great Mother.
I'm sorry to have forgotten the honor. Forgive me, said Abhani.
She bowed her head.
Not everything in life is a matter of honor, said the Great Mother. The first time was the privilege of family and my pleasure. Though this time, now you are a woman and a princeps, you may account it an honor, and I am sure you shall remember it.
Despite the strange electronic modulation, Mohana Mankata Vai's voice was full of humour.
What might I do for you, Great Mother? Said Esha.
The head of the warlord was as cramped as that of her reaver. A narrow gap had been left for Mohana Mankata Vai's moderati to squeeze past the tank to their stations. Otherwise, the front of the Zella was completely obscured by the Great Mother's life support systems.
So quickly to the point, my daughter. Very well. We are to be relieved by the Legio Ataris and redeployed to the core system.
But this is our fight, said Abhani in consternation. We have held this place for weeks. We should have the honor of retaking Theta Garmon.
Abhani's attitude flipped from meek to outraged in a moment. This was why their relationship was difficult. She had too much of her father's aggression. Esha gritted her teeth.
Silence, said Esha. Do not question the Great Mother's will.
The decision has been taken, said the Great Mother. Theta Garmon screams for help. The capital world has fallen to the War Master. Neocon City is once again in his hands. The subsidiary planets of Theta Garmon are in deadly peril. We shall acquiesce to the requests of Lord General Bolivar of Fasadia and bring our engines to Theta Garmon 3.
What about all we've done? What about the fight here? Said Abhani. Loyalist forces reach critical mass. The offensive will begin soon. We cannot abandon this glory. We have rightly won our place here. Remember who you address, hissed Esha.
A princeps should speak her mind, said Mohana Mankata Vai to her daughter. Though never so insubordinately, she said to her granddaughter. It is my decision. We are to be replaced by the Legio Ataris. We do not possess enough heavy maniples to contest this war zone. The firebrands have more engines and a greater proportion of battle-line units. Wars are won by the application of appropriate levels of force. This is not a fight that is favorable to our order. Our talents are required elsewhere.
Esha placed a hand on Abhani's arm. Abhani tried to tug away, but Esha's grip was firm.
So that's it. We're running to heel like hunting dogs, said Abhani. Who is this man to command us to obey? Great Mother, please, we should remain to see our task here completed. Don't listen to them.
Mohana Mankata Vai's voice sounded loudly.
Obey? The Legio of the Collegia Titanica does not have to obey anyone, Abhani Lus. We are the wardens of the god machines. We are the iron fist of the machine god. We are, above all,
above the orders of Terra and of Mars. We are beyond the command of our forge worlds. By ancient design, we are independent, to avoid ensnarement in the politics of men. We safeguard the domains of the cult Mechanicus as we see fit. We agree audience for petitions for aid, and grant our might according to our own will upon the petitioner's merits. We are not told. The titans of the Imperial Hunters walk at my decree. No one else's. If we go to Beta Garmon, then it is because I command it to be so. A month of negotiation is behind this decision. I do not act on impulse. Ever. Abhani let out an angry noise and shook off her mother's hand. Be at peace, granddaughter. We are under strength. We are hunter-killers. The battle to retake Theta Garmon V will be a head-on clash between scores of heavy maniples. If we face the Tiger Eyes and Legio Vulpa in open combat, they will be victorious. Let the Firebrands earn their glory here. This is their kind of war. We will be more useful elsewhere.
I won't have it. Those dogs of the Legio Vulpa are still here. We can kill them, take them down, it's our right. Why can't we stay and aid the Firebrands?
Mohana Mankata Vi's outline moved in the Amnion.
Ah, Abhani Lus, I see where your demands stem from. Your hatred of our old rivals is commendable, but your modus is unbecoming for a princeps. You will remember your place and calm yourself, or your position as commander of the Os Rubrum shall be granted to another. Perhaps a spell as a steersman will cool your temper and allow you time to think properly on the strategic exigencies of engine war.
Abhani's face went white.
I kneel, Abhani Lus.
Abhani dropped to her knees. Her reddish hair flopped over her face, hiding her shame.
I do not judge you harshly, granddaughter, for I too suffer the burden of human emotion. Do you think I called you here to relay this piece of information when you could receive it with the rest of the Order? Why do you think a mere warhound princeps should be brought into my presence? I assure you, it is not because I seek your counsel. I do you honor by speaking with you of such matters, and you show your respect by questioning my judgment.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Do not take Os Rubrum from me. I will show my worth, I swear,
Abhani said. Mohana Mankata Vi's tone softened.
I wish to see you both because the Legio will most likely be split. Perhaps not immediately, but it will have to be so. Escher is the last of my natural daughters. You are my last true granddaughter. The pair of you are part of me, not creatures spun of artificial genes whose code was stolen from my own, or clones born from copies of copies. You are my children. We are family.
Her voice quietened further.
That once meant something to humanity, before this madness we experience replaced the brief hope of Imperium. Stand, granddaughter. Come close to my tank. Forget your anger. Remember our bond.
Abhani moved to the glass. Something came forward. Escher saw her mother's silhouette more clearly than she had for a dozen years. Despite the lines snaking back through the liquid and all the accoutrement of technology sustaining her life far beyond its natural span, she was still human. A shadowed head moved closer, then a hand thumped against the glass. It was white, pallid, swollen with fluid absorbed from the amnion, but it was a hand of flesh and blood, a living hand. Abhani flinched.
Yes, yes,
Mohana Mankata Vi said, as if seeing Abhani for the first time.
Handsome, upright, as a woman of House Vi should be. I see you,
Abhani Luz. You are like me. I too was proud and headstrong. Unbridled power was my reward. So too was this watery prison. Master your impulsive nature, for it will be your undoing.
The hand squeaked down the glass and vanished back into the murk.
I am glad to see you, but you have much to learn. We are family, and remember that counts for much. But remember also that always, always, Legio comes first.
I swear I shall learn, said Abhani. I shall redouble my efforts, triple them. I'm sorry.
Give me the satisfaction of pride in your maturity, not apologies for its lack. Now go, granddaughter of mine. I wish to speak to your mother. May the machine god guide you to better understanding and watch over the functioning of your machine.
The door opened. Abhani bowed and made her way back out of the cramped confines of the cella. The door shut behind her.
You still have not told her, last of my daughters,
said Mohana Mankata Vai when she and Esha were alone.
No, I never will. She cannot know.
In the tank, Mohana Mankata Vai's head moved within its nest of cables.
Maybe that is for the best. Maybe it would have been for the best, even were we not at war. Abhani Luz abhors the Death Stalkers, as any woman of our Legio should. But her hatred of Vulpa surpasses that of any other huntress. This is the mark of her father. Vulpa are a vengeful, angry breed. Perhaps I wonder, does she know deep down? She paused. But then who needs any other reason to hate the Deathstalkers, their being what they are? The Legio Vulpa are cruel warriors.
They are not alone, said Esha.
There has always been a surfeit of cruelty among the armies of the Emperor.
Do you defend our erstwhile allies, daughter?
I do not, said Esha.
She looked above the Great Mother, where the glass narrowed, and the great bundle of cabling that kept her alive entered through a thin neck of glass collared in metal.
What they did was indefensible. Even before they turned traitor, their methods were questionable.
She looked at the greyish blob that was Mohana Mankata Vai's head. She wondered what the old woman must look like. Esha had been born so long after Mohana Mankata Vai had been submerged in the tank, the last of her frozen over successfully brought to term, that she had never seen her mother as a young woman. She had seen Picts, and it was said by those who had known Mohana when she was still mortal that Esha resembled her a great deal. Esha's imagination, usually so ruthlessly subordinated to the task of commanding her Reaver, filled in for her a picture of horrific decrepitude, of skin so loose it hung like wet white cloth, and eyes shriveled to black fruit pits. She'd never been able to see her mother as anything other than a crone, and she saw the same fate approaching for herself in the mirror, as age laid its siege lines over her face.
I do question if they ever had much choice, if any of us did.
Mohana Mankata Vai's voxmeter let out a curious electronic blurt. Perhaps it took the place of a sigh. It was doubtful the machine priests had included mental pattern recognition for something so human as a meaningful exhalation. To many of them, such a human, flesh-bound thing would appear devoid of informational content. It chilled Esha how far the priests of their religion had diverged from humanity.
I think that sometimes, said Mohana Mankata Vai, but I am in error doing so. All the achievements and woes of my life stem from one instant of decision. You are familiar with how I became Grandmaster?
Of course, said Esha.
She hesitated.
Great Mother, I have heard the story a score of times from you yourself.
The Great Mother was silent for a moment.
I am growing forgetful. a consequence of old age,
she said.
I could have left the prize behind. Instead, I took it up. All this would have been otherwise, had I not. Legio Salaria would have been a very different legio. It would not bear the cognomen of the Imperial Hunters, were its engines not piloted by experts of the hunt. If the knights, rather than the huntresses of House Fi, had given their gene stock and traditions to Tigris, perhaps it would be no better an order than the Deathstalkers. But we shall never know, because that did not happen.
Indeed not, said Escher.
Do you believe in fate?
Asked the Great Mother. Escher shifted slightly. She clasped her hands behind her back and straightened her spine.
You are uncomfortable answering,
said the Great Mother.
A large percentage of the Apocrypha to the 16 universal laws wrestle with this conundrum.
Law 8. The Omnissiah knows all, comprehends all.
Quite. If he knows and comprehends all, then by definition the Machine God's plan is knowable and comprehensible. By extension, if the Machina Cosma operates to predictable principles, then those principles can be known and comprehended. The universe is a code to be deciphered, according to this philosophy, if one can but reach the highest level of comprehension.
Escher said nothing. To state an opinion either way was to put oneself into the camp of one of the major divisions within the erstwhile Mechanicum.
I do not believe that all is knowable, said
Mohana Mankartavai.
The machine God made mankind to understand the mysteries of his creation. What would be the point of that if we had no choice, but rolled like steel bearings down the paths of a random decision generator? I have come to decide that my actions were not fated. That moment, on that glorious day, I could have ridden aside from the chase. I could have chosen not to take my horse out in the first place. I could have watched the knights cross the finishing line from the stand with my sisters and mother. But I was a huntress, so I did go out. I am impulsive, and I chafed against the restrictions of our culture. So when the time came and my brother dropped the trophy, I made the decision to pick it up. I did not feel guided. I did not feel it was inevitable. I remember making that decision, daughter. There was no great cosmic weight bearing down on me, forcing me to do it. I chose to, as surely as a hunter chooses to loose his arrow at his quarry or not, as surely as you choose the moment to unleash the solar furies of your plasma destroyer. It was my choice, Escher.
Mohana floated close to the glass front of her tank again.
Choices are made by men and women all over the galaxy, every single moment of every single day. These are conscious moments of decision. They are what drives history onwards. It is man's will that beats the path of time, not the designs of gods or fate or whatever you wish to call it. I am my own mistress. That is why we, of all the species in the galaxy, are the favored of the machine god and made in his holy image. Nothing dictates what I shall do. I command gods in his name. They do not command me. Do you understand?
As you say, Mother, said Escher, bowing her head respectfully. I have understood since the beginning. Mohana Mankartavai drifted back in the murk.
You were always among the cleverest. I am proud of you. You know that it is will that allows us to master the Titans. You are possessed of it in abundance. It is a rare gift. And so I have made another choice.
Escher looked up.
It is time for me to name my successor as Grand Master of the Legio Solaria. I have decided that you should bear the mantle. This is my pronouncement. Let it be so from this moment forth. You are the heir apparent.
For once, Escher lost her composure. Her stance loosened.
Why me? I'm not the best warrior or the best leader. There are others that are worthier.
I disagree. You are leader of Second Maniple, and you are the last of my true daughters.
Continuity is powerful symbolically, said Escher, but it is no justification for my naming as your heir.
Daughter, there have been better princeps in this legio, and there have been better leaders. But of those of us surviving, you possess both qualities in the best proportions. You will do this, for I so command. I will announce my decision soon. I thought it kinder to let you know in advance.
Do you think you will fall in battle?
Escher asked.
Is the situation so dire that even you fear for the Legio?
The Great Mother laughed loudly. The machinery enabling her to speak was confounded by the strength of her humor, and interpreted it as a barking synthetic warble.
I have no fear for my engines or my daughters. We are the Legio Solaria. Never has a foe bested us. Never have we turned our face from battle. By our blood and our will, the Legio will persist for all time.
Then why now? She asked. Why name me as your successor?
I called you here with Apani Luce because I wish to see you together. This could be the last time that grandmother, mother, and daughter are present at once. It is selfish, but I am still human. I am the last of the founding mothers. An era is passing for our order, for better or for worse. But I have no fear for the Legio, Escher, because it will be in safe hands. Your hands.
Then what is happening?
You know what is happening. Say it aloud.
I cannot, said Escher.
But she had known since she had seen the candles in the Sallyport and the unfinished equations. She dropped her head. To name it was to make it real.
Then I shall say it,
said Mohana Mankata Vai proudly.
I am dying, my daughter, and I do not have long left.